There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in on a rising tide. Look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, Resurrected Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. I'm your host, Tom Lacovara Stewart, joined with Lori Anderson and our special guest, Mr. Ken O'Keefe, who really needs very little of an introduction to our audience, of course, but he is a former United States Marine and a hardcore, and sometimes he takes terms with the term activist, but I, for lack of a better term, certainly a liberty and humanity activist. You know, a people for one of the people for the mass awakening that I would love to see this world have, so that we can all come together and fight off the evil that has infested us for so long. We were talking about this in the last hour. We were delving into 9/11 and the mass mind control and mass traumatizing event that has taken place and has really it really has created an illusion, a false reality that people just keep running with, especially those that are indoctrinated enough to watch the mainstream media and be gullible enough to swallow it up. Anyway, Ken, welcome back to the show. I don't know exactly where we left off, but, you know, I think that's a good place to start with 9/11. I know that you and I have never gotten a chance to talk about it live on the air, and I've been looking forward to this for a very long time. Maybe you can give us a little bit of a background on your views on it.
Well, I think, you know, we really have reached long ago the time where, you know, debating whether or not this was a false flag is just a foolish game. It was, of course, a false flag.
Surely,
if you were to accept the idea that this is 19 hijackers, including, you know, we were talking about the coke snorting, stripper dating, booze drinking, not even really capable flying a Cessna lead hijacker Mohammed Atta, who managed to get through Israeli controlled security. And all of this nonsense, you know, if you buy into that, there's probably nothing that can be said to someone like that. Those of us who are thinking have moved well beyond that. We're way beyond whether or not this was a false flag. Those of us who are serious are in the realm of who did it and who we can prosecute right now based on things such as destruction of evidence, destruction of a crime scene. You know, these things are all there. So for me, you know, it's a very simple matter. There's no doubt whatsoever that Israeli Mossad has their fingerprints all over this. Saudi Arabia supplied the patsies, a fairly marginal but, you know, relevant contribution to that false flag. But Saudi Arabia was a minor player in the 28 pages, was merely a diversion, attempting to divert attention away from Israel. And the only people that were arrested on the day, I mean, there's so many things we can get to. The only people that were arrested on the day and in the weeks that followed were Israelis. many of whom were Mossad agents, many of whom were subjected to lie detector tests, which they failed, some of whom were caught with vans and explosives in those vans, some of whom were caught dancing and celebrating as they were watching the events unfold, and who admitted on television in Israel that they were forewarned, they knew of the event before it happened and were sent there to capture it on video. You know, we can get into all these things, Larry Silverstein and Frank Lowy, two Jewish billionaires who bought two worthless buildings that transferred billions of dollars of liability to them as being responsible to remove the asbestos that was throughout those two towers. We can go on and on and on and on and on and on. I feel like that's beyond any kind of rational reasoning. You know, those people who are still debating those things, let them do that. But for those of us who are thinking, we're way beyond that. Israeli Mossad is involved directly and responsible along with traitors in the U.S. government and military, plain and simple.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. I know that I would have, I was planned on having this conversation with you long ago. We have beaten this subject, but, you know, it's amazing to me how many people that I speak to still. And, you know, I guess maybe because we have been at this for as long as we have, we sometimes, you know, even I assume everybody yep. knows this. And then I find myself in a new area with new people talking with people that have never listened to my show before or who I haven't had any contact with. And you would be surprised, Ken, at how many people out here really don't know. I also want to bring onto the show real quick somebody who I'm sure admires your work is my significant other. We refer to her around here as Texas 101 or Lori. Go ahead, Lori.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, Lori. How are you?
Well, good. I have a couple of questions for you. One is, a lot of the American people don't get a lot of information on what's going on with Russia and their stance towards the U.S. or the rest of the world because they're caught up in the Hillary Clinton Uranium One debacle. And they're losing sight of what's really going on out there in the world. Can you give us a little bit of information, since you are hearing that possibly where you are, or what's really going on out there?
Well, you know, one of the great dangers that that we face is forgetting the fact that, you know, as Shakespeare very famously said, all the world is a stage. You know, a lot of people, and myself included, will give a lot of credit to Russia for doing some things that in you know, regardless of where the motivation lies with Putin and Russia, the actions of Russia over the last few years have been very positive for the most part. You know, in particular, we look at Syria. If people understand clearly what would have happened if Bashar al-Assad was taken out of power, there would have been a power vacuum that would have been filled by someone. And the most powerful interest, if Bashar al-Assad had gone, would have been the Frankenstein monsters that we created, otherwise known as ISIS, which I identify as Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, and I think it's a bit coincidental, to say the least, that ISIS literally can stand for that. And we look at the Israeli Mossad's motto of, by way of deception, thou shalt do war, and we look at the history of false flags, Israeli involvement in it, including murdering 34 American sailors on the USS Liberty and many other actions, the Levant affair and 9/11, for sure. We really do need to take stock of this. And Russia basically prevented what is part of what's called the Oded Yunnan's a strategy for Israel in the 1980s. There's been a long-standing plan since the 1980s and beyond, in which there is a plan to expand Israel into what's known as Greater Israel. And the way that they intend to achieve that is by effectively balkanizing and splitting and fracturing all of the surrounding nations along sectarian lines so as to weaken and fracture those surrounding states and ultimately create the context in which Israel can expand, probably on the basis of false flag operations. And Israel is supposed to not fill that little part, which we knew as historic Palestine, but ultimately it's supposed to be from the River Euphrates up in the north down to the River Nile in the south in Egypt, and to encompass what is now currently parts of Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and this is the plan. And everything we see happening in the Middle East is designed to do that, and Syria was a stepping stone to Iran. And Iran, make no mistake, if we attack Iran, we will be in a full-scale Third World War. And they were not able to achieve the goal of you know, basically destroying Syria because of Russia's involvement and Iran and others. But the point that I'm making here is that while it would seem obvious, and many people subscribe to the idea that that Putin is a hero and Russia is a hero, you know, I'm not going to deny that what Russia has done in the context of Syria is a positive thing. Make no mistake, it would have been horrible, the consequences of Syria falling as it was designed. But there is also the very strong likelihood of a good cop, bad cop routine. And the ties that Putin has to Israel and to Jewish leaders inside of Russia is stark. It's not dissimilar to what we see with Donald Trump. And I know there are a lot of Donald Trump supporters out there, but if you deny the direct connections of his relationship with Jewish supremacists who control New York real estate and who control the banks that provide the loans that provided him with the wealth that he enjoys today, I'm sorry, but you're in denial. You know, you're in a state of cognitive dissonance, and you're ignoring some very important facts, and you have to at least explain why you think that Donald Trump is defying his paymasters who provided him the loans to do what he's done and bailed him out of $1 billion of personal debt. You know, everything is very convoluted and difficult to explain, and I won't claim to be the master who understands and can explain it all, but what I've seen of Russia in terms of its actions in the international realm is largely positive, mostly positive. But is this a good cop, bad cop routine? It very well could be.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
with you.
I agree with you too.
And one of the things that a lot of Americans don't understand, and I like to say this so they understand we're not bashing Israelis, is that anti-Semitic, who are the Semites and who are the Israelites? The Israelites were the chosen people, but I'm not too sure who the Semites are. And when you look at it that way and you start looking at what people do in the government and not a tribe and not a people that you biblically have a hold on to, you can see a little bit of the truth that stares out at you. That might make it easier for people that are hearing Ken for the first time. He actually looks at what the people in the government are doing. Ken, the other thing is, you know, you've studied for years. You've looked at the U.S. and you see what's going on with the Patriots, and they're really listening to what people are saying right now. Do you have anything you would tell to the people about how to learn what's going on, how to research, how to get started, or anything of that nature? I think that's something that's really hard for a lot of us to get out to people, of how important it really is.
Yeah, really thoughtful question. I appreciate that. You know, I really like to encourage people to empower themselves and realize that their path is very unique to them.
Rosowski, plug in.
So there is no kind of standard advice that I could give to anybody, but there are certain principles that I think are very helpful if people are serious about really understanding what's happening in the world. And one of them I discussed earlier today is the ability to put yourself in the position of the other and to really put your cherished beliefs aside and honestly look at things without a tainted perspective, which really distorts how you can interpret information. If you put yourself in the position of the other and you do it in an honest way, things become much, much easier to understand, especially when you balance that with a genuine investigation into real history. Because let's be very clear about this. History is a pack of lies. History that is taught in the major universities and put out there by the mainstream media is a pack of lies. You know, so much of what we think is true is completely opposite of the truth, and so you really do kind of need to come to that understanding and effectively unlearn everything that you've been indoctrinated with and come at it from a fresh perspective. And when you do that and have a genuine critical thinking perspective to investigate independently and look at the historical facts that we can quantify and measure and really verify, and put yourself in the position of others, things become very simple. A perfect example of that is the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. People are told that this is like a never-ending quarrel between Muslims and Jews, and all of this has existed from time immemorial, and that's a lie. That's not true at all. Jews and Muslims and Christians have lived in the Holy Land mostly at peace, mostly as neighbors. In fact, Jewish families would have their kids stay with Muslim families and vice versa. And the thing that has caused the real problem in Israel, in Palestine, is the fact that the Palestinians were dispossessed of their land. And the Bundy family would understand this. Anybody who might have had their land stolen from them would understand this. Whatever the geopolitical reasons for apportioning a large portion of land to a recent immigrant to your land at the expense of those who've lived there for generations, you know, if you put yourself in the position of the Palestinian people, and my ex-wife is Palestinian, her father was a deed title holder to land in a very beautiful part of Israel, Jaffa, and, you know, they have no right to go back because they're not Jews. That's the bottom line. If they were Jewish, they could have stayed and enjoyed the fruits of Israel, but they're not. They're Muslims, and that's the reality of Israel. If you're a Jew anywhere in the world, theoretically, you can come and you can live there and you can have citizenship, but if you're a Palestinian who lived there in 1948, who has deed title to land and can prove that, you will not be able to go back. Now, if I don't care who you are, but if you put yourself in that position, you can understand it. Sadly, most Americans have been perverted. Their understanding and knowledge has been perverted by a bunch of lies, which perpetuates the idea that Muslims just hate Jews and want to drive them all in the sea. That's just not true. It's a lie.
Thank you for doing that, because that's one of my main issues. A lot of people here have an anti-Muslim push. They do read the Quran, but they don't really go out and talk to their neighbors. And when you actually talk to them, you see a little bit different. Are there Muslims that are trying to hurt people? True. Are there Christians that are trying to hurt people? True. Are there Jews that are trying to hurt people? True. It's in every faith on this planet that people are trying to hurt each other. And it's the person, not the faith. It's the religion that pretty much drives it. And I really appreciate you saying it.
I really appreciate the context of your question, and it's a really important point. You know, I am not Muslim. I am not an apologist for Muslim extremism or the abuses of people who identify as Muslims, but I make a distinction between what I see as genuine Muslims and fake Muslims, just like I make the distinction between genuine Christians and fake Christians. And one of the ways that I identify a fake Christian is by asking the question, what country would Jesus bomb? Because I don't know of any country that Jesus would bomb, and I don't know how somebody calls themselves a Christian when they support the indiscriminate bombing of civilian populations in major cities based on pretexts that are all lies. Even if they were true, even if there was an evil leader in Iraq or whatever country, do we have the right, according to Christian ideology and belief and faith, to go and bomb a city because a leader is abusing power? No.
I think our last commandment we were given was to love one another as we, you know, he would love us. And we forget that quite a bit. That's one of the key things. I'm going to turn the questions over to Tom again. I may interrupt him a little bit later, but I really appreciate you answering those two questions, Dave. It's the information we really haven't gotten over here. As you know, the media has not really given us the true answers or really asking true questions. So I really appreciate it.
Likewise, sister. Very much.
Yes, I could say that she's been looking forward to talking to you probably as long as I was looking forward to talking to you on the show. I think that, you know, that's something else that we talked about because, you know, my audience knows that I'm Christian and they know that they pretty much kind of know my positions on things. But both Ken and I talked about the Quran, and there are we disagree with portions of the Quran, just like we disagree with portions of the Talmud. We're not trying to, and I don't want to make people think that, look, you know, when it comes to this, we walk around on eggshells to the point where we can never get any solutions done if we're so up in arms. Like, because I'm a Christian, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, right? So that's what I do. And by doing so, I don't recall anywhere in the New Testament that Christ commands us to not speak the truth. As a matter of fact, I think that we're commanded to speak the truth, even among people who may not agree or may have different ideologies or beliefs. But most importantly is this. I know as a human being that when I see men, women, and children who are not part of a conflict being displaced of their property, being killed, being bombed, having depleted uranium sprayed all over their home and their properties, and knowing what, you know, Ken and I were talking about Gulf War syndrome and what the depleted uranium does to your DNA. And I mean, if any Christian out there could please tell me, just point me to the place in the Bible that says Jesus is for depleted uranium and bombs on civilians, you know, I'll shut up and I'll go away. But last time I checked, it doesn't exist. I mean, this is crazy. And then we wonder why we're surrounded by militarized forces here at home. Should we not be surprised? I mean, why should we be surprised?
Yeah. You know, we discussed this at length earlier today, you know, this is part of my optimism, is that really it's pretty simple. You know, if you're in a position of power, you know, you come from a powerful nation, then you have both a blessing and a serious responsibility. At the end of the day, when you have the power to subject others to your will, which is harmful to them, and to your perceived advantage, maybe you can materially take advantage of them or whatever, what you're doing is defying any kind of real, genuine spiritual basis of Christianity or whatever religion you're participating in. There's really one very simple guide to how we should conduct ourselves, whether we're just moral human beings or whether we're Christians, for sure, and that is the golden rule. It's another very simple exercise that allows us to be able to make clear, decisive decisions that really are in line with a spiritually committed growth as a human being. And if you wouldn't want to be bombed, well, you know, don't bomb somebody else. If you don't want to be lied to, well, don't lie to somebody else. If you don't want your family killed, well, don't kill someone else's family. You know, if you have to defend yourself, defend yourself. If you have to kill somebody in order to defend yourself, then kill that person. But don't you ever fall prey to propaganda and lies so that you can be manipulated into going and murdering somebody else in mass. And the reason why 22 American service members a day continue to commit suicide long after they've come home from Iraq and Afghanistan is because they were called on to commit atrocious crimes against people who were, quite frankly, doing exactly what every honest, red-blooded American patriot would do if the situation were reversed. If another nation, based on a pack of lies, came and invaded our nation, let us imagine that America is not the big, powerful nation that it is, that it's a smaller nation, a weaker nation, and some big, powerful nation from halfway around the world concocted a bunch of lies by a bunch of corrupt, pedophile bastards at the top of the pyramid, so that we could go and invade someone else. If someone did that to us, what would we do? Would we consider ourselves?
I'd give my life to kill him. I'd kill them all.
And if you didn't fight and kill every invader you had an opportunity to kill, you would be a coward. That would be an honest interpretation of what you would be judged as. And if you killed the invader with whatever weapons you had, obviously if you had ballistic missiles and nuclear weapons, well, then you could take care of the problem really quickly. But if all you've got is explosives or small arms and whatnot, then that's what you would use. And that is exactly what the people of Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya and all these places that we've been invading and occupying, that's what they do. You know, and listen, this isn't about I love Muslims and I'm going to, you know, defend them no matter what. No. This is about human beings being honest about what you would do if indeed someone was coming, especially based on a pack of lies and abusing their power and coming and invading, occupying, and killing your family members. And that's, you know, unfortunately, the people of the nations we invade have been doing. They're not terrorists. They are men and women who defend their country as we would defend our country if the situation was reversed.
Yeah. Saudi Arabia. Now, there's terrorists. ISIS. There's terrorists. The people that attacked us on 9/11 and the spies and the machinations that come along with all that, there's terrorists. The 240 Israeli spies that were arrested, they were rounded up, and Chertoff had deported after many of them failed lie detector tests, after we have photographs of them in the Twin Towers with blasting caps and equipment on the floor that they were illegally, by the way, sleeping on because it was zoned commercial, and Larry Silverstein let them stay there for a very long time. I don't know how many months it was. After they had infiltrated government agencies, they were going around to government agencies trying to sell their art and make relationships with some of these lower level agents. What was that company that all of the communications for the FBI and the DEA and all that were running through Qtel, I forget the name of the company, but basically the government had contracted out all of our communications were all being run through Tel Aviv. I mean, you know, my eyes opened up. I think it was the USS Liberty that really did it. And that's what made me start digging. Yeah. Somebody sent me, Ken, I was in the lounge of my firehouse when the World Trade Center attack happened. I bought hook, line, and sinker into the entire official story for a time, and then somebody sent me an article on the USS Liberty, and then I started researching the Levant affair, the King David Hotel, the bomb that was set off there. And once I started seeing, and it's like my stepfather was a criminal investigator. He was a detective. And I go by evidence. When I start seeing a pattern, this is called evidence. And to call people names, this is how what they do. They call us names and smear us and with hateful terms and everything else. I am not a white supremacist. I do not believe in the supremacy of melanin. I don't believe in the supremacy of any one particular people. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's my supreme supremacy is in my faith, right? I don't care what color you are. I don't care what people you come from. My job is to show you, first of all, is to be an example, to show you love, and to try and share the truth with you. And if the truth shines its light into your heart, then you'll make your decision accordingly based upon your own free will. This is how we're supposed to act as human beings to one another. So the truth will set us free. And that, I think, is the only thing that we have in our corner here is the truth.
And what a blessing and privilege it is, because it is the most powerful force of all. As far as I'm concerned, God and truth are the same thing. You know, you cannot separate them, like God and nature. You know, they're the same thing. You know, there is no separation. We have the most powerful weapon that exists. And I you know, I've lived that personal experience where, you know, I thought I was a thinking, independent, sovereign being, you know, who formed my own opinions, joined the Marine Corps, and you know, only when I had my worldview shattered in my Marine Corps experience did my mind open up and I started to contemplate perspectives and views that weren't possible in a state of indoctrination in which cognitive dissonance is the rule of the day. And I'm so grateful for this. Has it caused me problems? Have I gone through hardship and injustice as a result of seeing the truth and embracing the truth and spreading the truth as best as I could? Yes, I've experienced a lot of hardship, but the blessings compared to the hardship, they're not even comparable. I feel so,
you know, according to my faith, we're blessed for his namesake is truth. And we'll be persecuted for his namesake is what I'm trying to say. That's what happens. We're going to be persecuted for sharing the truth, but the truth will win the day. We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Mother of the moon, which filled my sails, close the sea of years.
Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio Broadcast, RTR Truth Media Reloaded. I'm your host, Tom Lacovara Stewart, and I am on the line with Mr. Ken O'Keefe. And what I was trying to say, and couldn't get it out quick enough because I knew we were going to commercial break, is Jesus said that I am the truth and the life, right? I am the truth and the life. He also said that we would be persecuted for his namesake. What is his namesake? His namesake is the truth. I don't care how inconvenient the truth is. I know that it makes a lot of Christians very uncomfortable. But that's because a lot of Christians have been propagandized by a version of Christianity that is false. The Scofield Bible was written by Cyrus Scofield, who was a divorced drunk, who basically, I mean, he concocted this and he was paid to do this, and he basically wrote in the Zionist narrative in the reference Bible, and then put this forward, and Lord knows it's the only one that Oxford University Press, as far as my knowledge is, it's the only Bible that they ever mass printed. And there's a reason for this. There's controlling agendas behind the scenes. So, you know, what were they teaching? They were teaching that Israel had the right to this land and that they were the chosen people. Well, the covenant, according to our faith, the covenant was broken long ago anyway. We're all grafted into one. That means we're all brothers and sisters, and we're all grafted in together. We are, for Bible's sake, we all are Israel. That's what that means. So to say that a bunch of Ashkenazis from off in the you know, where they come, the Caucasus Mountains, who converted, you know, 700 years ago. I hardly think that the majority of Jews living today, and it doesn't matter, it's a faith, and that's valid, okay? But I don't see how a Semitic people, that they weren't, now they are, and now they land, lay claim to a land, and these perpetual wars of aggression upon other people. Had we been following the Constitution, and this is why I'm a constitutionalist, none of these wars have been declared, first of all. None of these wars have been lawful in any fashion. And had we been following the Constitution the way we were supposed to be following, none of these wars would have ever happened. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah, you know, there you go. I mean, I liken the American experience, keeping in mind, you know, I've lived in Europe, I've lived in other parts of the world where they have very old civilizations. You know, I've been to Iran several times, formerly Persia. You know, they enshrined human rights into the code of their society 2,500 years ago under Cyrus the Great. I've actually been to the very place where these rights were enshrined in Persian culture. We do not have this kind of monopoly on morality. In fact, we are, unfortunately, especially Americans, the biggest hypocrites on the face of the planet. You know, we speak about all these lofty ideals like freedom and democracy, but the truth of the matter is, as Smedley Butler very accurately documented in his classic book, War is a Racket, you know, we're nothing but, you know, mafia enforcers that run around protecting corporate interests and really destroying popular democracy all over the world. And I'm not even a fan of democracy, quite frankly, for a lot of reasons. But the bottom line is that, you know, we have to face something that will effectively shatter our worldview. And this is a big challenge. And it's understandable how so many Americans really find it in very difficult, if not impossible, to abandon their worldview, to allow it to be shattered and embrace a view that really is in line with Jesus Christ and the truth, and the very strong and powerful truth that we as a people will never know freedom until we directly and absolutely embrace the truth. Indeed, the truth shall set us free. Unfortunately, we've fallen into a bunch of lies based on an indoctrination process, which I know very intimately as an American-born son. And, you know, I was willing to go off and kill or be killed as a U.S. Marine. And, you know, I have no shame in anything I've done in that regard. But I thank God that I never had to kill somebody, because I would have. And if I did, especially if I had somehow become so mad, as happens in war, that I would have killed a child or a woman or even a man, you know, who isn't directly involved in combat. And even if he's directly involved in combat, what is he doing? That man is defending his land. You know, does he come from America? No, he comes from the land that you're invading. And he's doing exactly what you would do if the situation were reversed. You know, these are very difficult things for people to accept, and I feel empathy, and I understand why people object to facing these things, and really don't like much of what I say, you know. But at the end of the day, my allegiance is not to placating people who are wanting to maintain their comfort zone. My obligation is to the truth, and to me, that's like every genuine God-fearing Christian or any other genuinely spiritual or religious person, which really religion is largely a perversion of genuine spirituality. But, you know, religion in terms of real spirituality, you know, these are things that will define how far you're going to go in terms of your spiritual growth. If you're going to be forever submitting to the dictates of propaganda, then you're not going to grow spiritually. That's a heavy price to pay, and people should consider their convictions and views about America's the greatest nation in the world, because honestly, they're compromising their spiritual growth unless they're willing to face the truth. It's not easy, but it's necessary.
Well, it's the only way we're going to ever hope to really fix things and turn things around. You know, we can pick the markets up and new jobs can be created and all of these other things that and I'm not wanting to make light on them. They're important things. However, if we're still continue to enable a criminal cabal who has, I mean, literally the cognitive dissonance that exists around 9/11 to this day, if we continue to allow these same people to make the same decisions, to make the same policy decisions, you know, we're going to have Edward G. Griffin's going to be coming on in a week or so and talking to us about the creature from Jekyll Island. I know that that's been all discussed before, but I mean, these people who created the Federal Reserve banking system, these same Rothschild bankers, are the ones that have been behind 200 years of funding both sides of every war to bring about their control mechanism. And, you know, you had said earlier, Ken, it's not even all about money. It's about power, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, we discussed this earlier as well. You know, I remember, even in my indoctrinated state, I remember before I was traumatized and my mind was open now to information that the indoctrination never would have allowed previously. Before I even reached that state where I started to really honestly take a look at the world that I lived in, I remember thinking how it made no sense to me that there were families in this world that had such enormous personal wealth that, as an example, the Rothschilds family, which is worth, by most estimates, many trillions of dollars, you know, far more than any sane person could ever justify having. These same people who hold trillions of dollars of personal wealth live in a planet in which people are starving to death. People are dying from waterborne diseases because they have no clean drinking water. People are living, including incredible amounts of children, in abject poverty in which even the most basic needs are deprived. And this one family alone could provide clean drinking water, could provide jobs, could provide homes, could provide everything just with their personal wealth. But they're not doing that. Why aren't they doing that? They obviously have enough to be able to do it, and they have more than they could possibly justify using in all of their lifetimes, many times over, but they're not doing that. Well, that tells you everything about the world we live in. I am not a socialist. I do not.
Neither am I. Neither am I.
I don't wish for a welfare state. I have faith in humanity, and I know if when the playing field is leveled and people have genuinely equal access to the resources that this planet has, which is an abundant planet. We don't have scarcity in real terms. It's an illusion of scarcity because the powers that be control the vast majority of resources, and the rest of us are left to fight for the crumbs. We actually have a world of abundance, and here we have, you know, the ruling families of this world who have trillions of dollars, not even billions, trillions of dollars of wealth, and they won't even think to use that wealth to benefit those who are living in the most incredible conditions. You know, one of the things that I have experienced that I just wish people from America could understand is that even if you live in a country that is truly run by a bunch of dastardly terrorists and evil people and all this sort of stuff, and, you know, you never supported that, you didn't want that, you're oppressed as well, you know, even if you came from a country which is every bit as a villain as they're made out to be, do you really seriously want to be part of bombing such a country and literally ripping body parts across the country and blood and guts everywhere, including children? And I've met parents and I've met children who have either both of them seen their mother, their father, their son, their daughter blown to bits right before their eyes, and worse. I could go on about many stories that are worse than that, much worse than that.
Ken, most people in this country, we talked about a certain video I wanted you to send me, right? But let's face the facts, right? most people in this country are so soft, and they have they live in this bubble, this self-righteous bubble, that they, yeah, go ahead and bomb, go. Yeah. They have never seen another body dismembered in war. Every single American, before they vote, before they make any critical decision in their life, should see the effects of what their decisions and what their support will bring them. They should at least be educated as to what it is that they're bringing about. Because I was a fireman, and I've seen it in accidents, I've seen it in gunshots, I've seen it with knives and machetes, and you name it. I was in Jersey. We saw a lot. Yeah. And I can tell you that the majority of the public out there has no clue whatsoever what they're asking for when they get behind these things.
No, unfortunately not. And, you know, we talked about this at length earlier. I mean, we had an 8-hour conversation, I believe, before we got onto this. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about really deeply is something that I consider to be probably the most important skill that you need to develop if you're really serious about being an honorable man or woman who is genuinely convicted and following a spiritual path, and that is the ability to put yourself in the position of the other. Imagine, you know, it's not that hard to imagine. You don't have to be some special individual to do this. If you can imagine that you come from another part of the world, which isn't the biggest, most powerful nation in the world, and you come from a country that's relatively powerless, and you are living in a situation in which you're not comfortable, you're not happy, you're not enjoying the benefits of the fruits of your nation, you're oppressed as well, and now you're getting bombed because, you know, your corrupt leaders who already are defying and destroying your own personal freedom, you're getting bombed because of them. You know, do you really need to be that advanced as a human being and in human consciousness to understand that if you were in that situation and somebody proposed as a solution to the problem to come and bomb the nation and kill disproportionately more civilians than the actual people that are serving the tyranny that you're also enduring? You don't have to be some special person to know that. Put yourself in that position and imagine looking at your child. I mean, worse than even seeing them blown apart by a bomb. I'm telling you, there's far worse. There's rape, you know, before your child is killed in front of your eyes, is raped before you. These are the types of things that happen in war. And if you think that Americans aren't capable of doing that, well, again, I'm so sorry. You're very, very delusional. You don't understand. When you put anyone, I don't care where you come from, in an environment of war where body parts are flying all over the place and your buddies and best friends are getting blown apart and you're killing people, trust me, you're going to go mad and you're going to be angry with your enemy and you'll rape a child in front of a parent and then execute that child and then the parent. That's what American sons and daughters have done. Make no mistake about it. That has happened. We do that kind of stuff. Every human being will do that kind of thing if they're in enduring that kind of insanity, of hell on earth, literally. What could be worse, for God's sake, than being in an environment where body parts are blowing all over the place and you're in a position where you must kill, including women and children, or be killed yourself? No, we should never, ever indulge in that.
Not only that.
For pure self-defense. Only for pure self-defense. And America has not had a defense for a long, long time. It's purely offensive. There's nothing defensive about the American military.
No. And, you know, when you were mentioning that, what brought something to mind, which is a story that I was told by a Marine, and he had said that there was a police chief, an Iraqi police chief, who was a crooked. They suspected that he was, you know, very corrupt. But he was having sexual relations with the young boy. He was raping him, is essentially what he was doing. And he tried getting permission to deal with it. And his whoever his superior was said, "No, this is, you stay out of it." And he basically looked at his superior and he's like, "Look, dude, I don't know about you, but I didn't I didn't sign on to let that happen. As a matter of fact, I stand against that. And if my country and this uniform and this flag and everything can't stand against that, why are you telling me to stand down? And of course, he didn't. He ended up getting in quite a bit of trouble. I believe he was court-martialed because he pretty much put the guy in a situation where he's not probably ever going to eat through anything but a straw again. But that's beside the point. He did the right thing. He did the right thing. And he was punished for it. So that, you know, I really want people to think about that for a minute. When you say, okay, let's attack Iran. Okay, let's attack Iran. And the same thing, the definition of insanity, okay, is to keep doing the same thing over and over again, expect you're going to get a different result, right? So, okay, we're going to send, we're not being attacked by Iranians now. So we're going to send an invasion force into Iran and do the same thing that we did to Iraq. And exactly, I think Ron Paul said something about this. He called it blowback, right? Yeah. They haven't attacked us. They're of no threat to us whatsoever. Whatsoever. They are no threat to the continental United States. There's nothing in this world, I don't care who, what, when, and where, if they are not a threat to the continental United States, and there is no justification in my mind, after Iraq, all credibility, if they ever had any, all credibility was lost. So, yeah. I mean, it's really kind of common sense, but it's amazing to me how programmed people are. I mean, Hillary Clinton cackled over the death of Gaddafi. All right, all of my anti-Clintonians out there, okay, and I'm at the top of the list with you with being anti-Clinton. I think so is Ken, okay? She cackled. Wait a minute. I thought she was the enemy. I thought she was an opposing ideology. Oh, no, she isn't. Working for the same cabal, huh? Proving herself. Now, exactly what did Gaddafi, what was Gaddafi doing that was a threat to the United States? Folks, Google the Greater Israel Project. It's all you really need to do. If you really want to know what's happening, PNAC, Project for New American Century. General Wesley Clark illustrated this with his testimony about what he discovered in the Pentagon. I mean, he made it very clear. The whole PNAC thing of taking out these countries in in 10 years? Of course, we've held them back because we didn't buy. This is something else that you and I talked about. You know, when it came to Syria, they need public support. They won't do it if the public's not with it, right? So here comes Obama wanting to invade Syria. They didn't buy the whole chemical weapons attack, even though the UN inspectors happened to be landing just miles away from where this chemical weapons attack happened. That was so counter the interest of Syria. It was so blatantly novice. It was such a novice false flag. It was ridiculous. And the American people didn't swallow it. And when they didn't swallow it, what happened? For one of the first times in history, what happened? Nothing happened because the American people didn't bite. Thank God. Now, I'm asking people out there, please don't bite on this next one. Please don't. No more wars. No more bankers' wars.
And this is like very personal for me as well, because I have to say, in all honesty, you know, it's Iranian state television, press TV, which really gave me the opportunity to express what I had to express. And I've also been a guest on BBC and CNN and Fox and you name it. At some point I've been on almost all of them. But I've never been invited back regularly, of course. Every time they invited me, it was always with the intention of making me look, because I have tattoos, facial tattoos and all, I'm easy to paint as some crazy fanatic Antifa type, character. And, that's not who I am. I obviously know how to express myself fairly well, but Iran is a nation that not only doesn't pose any military threat to the United States, but actually offers an ideological benefit to humanity, which, you know, for all the problems that Iran has, and it does, it has problems, corruption, abuse of power, all sorts of things, all the same sure. things that every nation on this planet has. Iran has those issues as well. It's far from perfect, but when you look at the culture of Iran and Persia, you find a history that has so many things that are admirable, really, genuinely admirable. I pointed out one earlier, you know, Cyrus the Great enshrined human rights into the fabric of Persian culture 2,500 years ago. Unheard of. You know, in Europe, hell, we were going through the Dark Ages, and the idea of human rights was, you know, are you kidding me? This was enshrined into the fabric of Persian-Iranian culture 2,500 years ago, a nation that hasn't indulged in any wars for 600 years, barring one war in which they had no choice, which was by order of the United States, the Iran-Iraq War, where our attack dog and ally, Saddam Hussein, was sicked on Iran because they had the audacity of exercising their sovereignty and getting rid of our puppet, the Shah. You know, it is stunning. And Iran elected yeah. a democratic leader in 1952, which we took out in a coup orchestrated by the CIA. I mean, you know, we've been interfering in their business for many decades, you know, many, many decades. Iran is a noble nation, you know, a lot of good people. And I swear to God, I've spoken to so many people in Iran and Palestine as well, who all told me the same thing. We don't have a problem with the American people. The Iranian people and Palestinians do not hate the American people. They don't. But they despise our government. Absolutely despise it. And they have every right to despise it. Every yeah, right to despise
I can't
it.
Blame them. All I can tell you is if somebody came into my neighborhood and said, you know what, my God said that he gave this to me about 6,000 years ago. That's the God Real Estate Agency. It's, you know, down around the corner there. Well, anyway, you can go check there. But anyway, my God gave me this land. And, oh, by the way, you have to leave and you can't even take your property. And if you resist, we'll kill you. I think I might have a problem with it. I'm just saying.
It's that simple. It's that simple. And that really brings up another point, which is how the powers that be employ their prostitutes, the so-called quote-unquote experts, to come and tell us how complicated it is. And they'll give us all these intellectual arguments about how very complex it is, when in truth, it's so simple. So very simple. As the Bundys understand what it's like to have an oppressive force right on your doorstep, ready to steal your land, you know.
And give it to somebody else.
You know. And the Bundy experience as compared to the Palestinian experience is like a day in Disneyland as compared to a day in hell. Literally.
That's true. Hey, Ken, we ran out of time, brother. I thank you for coming on, man. We got to have you back on more often.
I definitely look forward to it. It has been a real pleasure, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, God bless you, man. I'll talk to you soon. Folks, Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast with Ken O'Keefe. We'll catch you next time. God bless all of you. Be real.